What is up, football fans, and welcome back to another NFL Whip Around podcast. I'm Jeff Hartman, joined by Coach KT Smith. Before we get started, for anyone that's watching live on our YouTube channel or watching in general, make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We do appreciate it. And wherever you get your podcasts, give us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It does help. With that out of the way, Coach, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Going great, Jeff. Going great. Going to talk about your favorite subject today, Jeff.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. That's right. That's right. This is going to be a very Steeler-centric show. And I say that as a Steeler fan, it gets me excited. But at the same time, you can't say that this is, as you put it, homerism, because the Steelers have been making all these crazy moves. They are the talk of the NFL right now. Every show nationally and locally is talking all about the Steelers and the moves that they've made at the quarterback position. So they've been the most interesting team probably in the league in the last 48 hours, wouldn't you say, Coach?
For sure. I mean, you think about the way that they've remade their quarterback room, how quickly that they did it, the limited assets and capital that they had to expend in order to do it. I mean, it's a radical transformation. Now, whether it works, that's the million-dollar question. Yeah. But you can't say that they haven't been aggressive or proactive.
Let me ask you this. Which surprised you more, the cutting of Kenny Pickett or the acquisition of Justin Fields almost 24 hours later?
Right. Well, I would say it was the cutting of Kenny Pickett, because when they did that, you and I were texting back and forth about, okay, something else is coming and it's going to come fast. I mean, I think we all anticipated another move, whether it was Fields or maybe a lower level signing like a Ryan Tannehill. Once Pickett was gone, I mean, the Steelers had one quarterback on the roster. You knew something was coming, but it felt as though those two things had to go hand in hand. But the Pickett news shocked me. I didn't see it coming. The Steelers had been saying for much of the offseason that they believed in Kenny Pickett and that they were going to go with Kenny Pickett. I took him at their word. I was a fool for doing that, I guess. But with the Wilson signing, I didn't think that really changed, you know, their stance on Pickett that much. I thought that there would be a legit competition between the two. Obviously, I was wrong.
Yeah. So, okay. You said that Pickett getting getting traded was the bigger surprise. The next question, which was more surprising? The return for Kenny Pickett, which was not much, or what the Steelers acquired Justin Fields for and not having to give up even one 2024 draft pick, which surprised you more in that regard?
I'm shocked that the Bears couldn't get more for Justin Fields than they did. I think that that's part of a much broader narrative about quarterback movement in general. And, you know, there's only 32 of those jobs in the world. And as I was talking about with Brian Anthony Davis, there are on a given year, 20 to 25 of those that are already taken. So you might only have a half a dozen to a dozen openings each year. And it just felt like when Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta, the domino effect from that happened very, very quickly. And all these teams were moving to sort of fill their roles. And for whatever reason, the Bears couldn't move Fields, and that just really caused his value to, or at least the return they were going to get for him, to drop. So it's a steal for the Steelers, but at the same time, if you're the Bears, you almost kind of have to be going like a sixth round. We had, that's all we could get was a sixth round pick for Justin Fields. It's shocking.
So I don't know if you heard this story, but Ryan Pohl, the GM of the Chicago Bears, came out publicly. And he said this is after the trade was official with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And by the way, anyone that doesn't know, the compensation is a 2025 sixth-round draft pick. If Justin Fields happens to play 51% or more, then it moves to a fourth-round pick. That's the compensation, all in 2025, not one pick in 2024. He said there were several teams that were interested in Justin Fields, but he wanted to do right by Justin Fields. And when I say that, he wanted to basically get the okay from Fields before they pulled the trigger. That sounds great. That sounds like someone that's, look at my philanthropic efforts here. I'm doing so good for everyone around me. That doesn't necessarily do what's best for the organization. If I'm the owner of the Bears, I'm probably having a conversation saying, wait a second, there was a team that offered more than what Pittsburgh gave us, and you didn't take it because he doesn't want to go there, the dude's under contract. It doesn't matter where he wants to go. How do you see this? Because the more I think about it, the more I think this dude screwed it up royally.
Yeah, if that story's true.
It came from him.
Well, it's both a magnanimous on his part and also a bit of malpractice on his part. I agree. Yeah. You know, that there's got to be a little bit more of a, hey, you know, Justin, we're going to move on from you. We're going to get what we can get. And right. I get it if this is like, hey, let's say this is Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career in Pittsburgh, and he's been there for 17 years, and you're going to move on from him, and you want to trade him, and you're going to say to him, Ben, you've been our franchise guy for 2 decades. We're going to try to do right by you and sign off on a trade. Justin Fields has been in Chicago for 3 years. Yeah. And it's not like that, you know, it was this amazing run that they had. They're moving on from a guy who's 25 years old. At that point, yes, you have a job to do, and that job is to get what you can get for him. I mean, Justin Fields is going to be okay if he's got to go to a situation. Let's say Philly, they were rumored as one of those trade partners. Let's say you're going to move him to Philly, and they're offering a third-round pick. You take the third-round pick. And if he's got to sit behind Jalen Hurts for a year, so be it. He's still a young quarterback, and he will get his chances in the league. So you're right. That feels like a bit of malpractice on his part.
Because everything that I've heard, reports out of both Philadelphia and nationally, are that Philadelphia did offer more to get him to come to Philadelphia and back up Jalen Hurts. Justin Fields didn't want that scenario because he realized the odds of me getting on the field are going to be based solely upon Jalen Hurts getting injured. And he didn't want that. And so instead, they go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not offering nearly as much, but it was when Philadelphia was told no by Chicago that Philadelphia reached out to the Steelers and said, what are you asking for Kenny Pickett? And that's when those trade discussions happen. So when you're, let's go to the next topic, which still is based on this whole scenario. Look into your crystal ball, answer the following question: which player will make out better in the long run as a result of the trade, Fields in Pittsburgh or Pickett in Philadelphia?
Well, I think Fields has the better short-term opportunity. I mean, the Steelers have said that Russell Wilson will be the starter. And if that's the case, okay, maybe he will. But Russell Wilson, again, is 35. He'll be 36 when the season starts. He played fairly well in Denver last year. But, I mean, there's no guarantee that Russell Wilson is going to lock down a long-term starting job in Pittsburgh. And even so, even if he is the starter, I really think that the Steelers will find a way to get Justin Fields on the field this season because of his unique skill set, his running ability, et cetera. So for me, Justin Fields plays this year in Pittsburgh in some capacity. I don't know if Kenny Pickett does in Philly, unless, again, like you said, Jalen Hurts gets injured. So what does that then do for Kenny Pickett long-term? Kenny Pickett's under contract for 2 more years in Philly. And so, I don't know, man. Does that relegate him to a backup role? If the Eagles keep him, he's a backup for 2 more years. Whereas I think Justin Fields will have a better opportunity to earn playing time sooner in Pittsburgh.
Let me start off talking about Kenny Pickett. So yeah, you're right. I feel like Kenny Pickett, and I said this on a podcast over the weekend, I feel like his career is definitely going to mirror someone like Mitch Trubisky. A lot of people thought Mitch Trubisky was a reach. He shouldn't have been drafted when he was. Now, he was much higher, top 5 pick, compared to Kenny Pickett, who was drafted 20th overall in 2022. Nonetheless, first-round draft pick, which some people said they don't belong being drafted in that area. And then, after given an opportunity, and some would say a lot of things didn't go their way. You know, Matt Canada's calling plays for Kenny Pickett. He's dealt with injuries. Some would say he didn't get a fair shake. Nonetheless, now he's probably, well, we know Mitch Trubisky is relegated to backup duty for probably the rest of his career. And hey, you can make a hell of a financial living being a backup quarterback in the National Football League. I don't think anyone's going to complain about that. But I don't think the Steelers did Pickett a favor when they sent him to Philadelphia, unlike when Justin Fields got sent to Pittsburgh. Because like you said, Jalen Hurts is not going to play to the point where they're going to abandon him. They're owing him way too much money. There's no way. So Kenny Pickett's going to have to wait for an opportunity, and that opportunity might not come. Now, back to Fields. My personal opinion on this, I said this on my Let's Ride podcast Monday morning on the Steel Curtain Network. They might say that this is a Russell Wilson's job, but the Steelers have to evaluate this as a straight-up competition, and I'm going to tell you why. You said it. Russell Wilson's 35, going to be 36 years old. Justin Fields could, not will, could be the future of the position for the Steelers. You cannot go into training camp and not say, if this guy doesn't play that much outside of a couple packages that we have built into the offensive playbook, we have to know what we're going to do. The Steelers are not going to pick up his fifth-year option. That's $25 million or something around that for 1 year. You're not going to pay a backup quarterback $25 million. So instead, you need to see what you have. And then throughout the year, like you said, put him on the field, see what he can do, because you're going to have to make a decision after that season about, let's try and lock this guy up long-term, a la what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did with Baker Mayfield this past year. What are your thoughts?
Right. And the thing about Justin Fields is this. He's a uniquely talented quarterback.
Yeah.
If you, I did a film breakdown that's on our SCN YouTube channel. Basically, it's 95% of which is centered around him as a runner. And when you watch him as a runner, he's a special guy with the ball in his hands. If the Steelers can get him right as a passer, or if they can minimize some of his flaws. I mean, his two big flaws in Chicago were he just held the football way too long and he struggled to read coverage in the middle of the field. And it seems as though they've got a coordinator in Arthur Smith who is pretty good at minimizing that damage because of his run-oriented scheme and his ability to get guys out of the pocket, et cetera. He's not going to ask the quarterback to take a bunch of seven-step drops and make full field reads. If he can get Justin Fields right, you're correct. They've got a franchise quarterback there. I mean, Justin Fields and Kenny Pickett both, in a way, suffered from being drafted into organizations that didn't do right by them offensively. Chicago was a mess when Fields first got there. They're only slightly less of a mess now. And Pickett had to go through the Matt Canada era. The difference is this. Fields is coming to a scenario where with a new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh in Arthur Smith, it fits his skill set great, and he's got a chance probably to compete for the starting job. Whereas Pickett going to Philly, their new offensive coordinator is Kellen Moore. You know Philly's doing everything they can right now to marry Jalen Hurts to Kellen Moore. They're not really that invested in seeing what they've got in Kenny Pickett because they're so committed to Hurts. Yeah. So, yes. Kenny Pickett, man, he might have to sit and wait for a little while before he gets another opportunity.
And he's not a young guy anyways. He's already 25 years old. So he's younger. He's older than I believe Justin Fields, or they're the same age. And you're talking about completely different scenarios. But let me ask you this question before we move on. And Justin Fields, everyone says the same thing all the time. He's got all the physical tools that you would want. The dude's got a cannon of an arm. He runs like Cam Newton in his prime. And he's got some escapability, but he does hold onto the ball long. And he does struggle reading the field. In your experience as a coach, can those above the neck, between the ear issues actually, can they actually be taught? Or is it something where, you know, at some point you're like, this guy's relying solely on his pure athleticism, and he's probably never going to be able to be that processor he needs to be to diagnose coverages, find the open receiver? What's your take on that, the mental side of quarterback play?
Yeah, I think they can be taught to a point. You get a guy who now is 25 years old. He's played a lot of football. You might have to just admit to a few things about that guy. Like, hey, if I'm trying to ask him to make full field read progressions where like read number one is here and read number two is here and read number three is on the backside, he's probably never going to be able to do that. So now what's my job? Your job as a coach is first and foremost, don't put your players in positions to fail. Don't give them things that they're incapable of doing. If you're so married to your scheme that's all you want to do is run, quote unquote, your system, then you need to find players that fit that. Otherwise, you need to adapt your scheme to the skill set of your players. And so I think there's got to be a happy medium right now between both Fields and Pickett and their offensive coordinators. They've got to maximize the skill set of those players while at the same time trying to get them a little further along in their development.
Would you compare Justin Fields' skill set to Jalen Hurts? Are they pretty parallel to you?
I can see why the Eagles were interested in Fields. Yes. You know, I think Jalen Hurts is a little further along in terms of his development in the pocket, but okay. I think that they're similar quarterbacks.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on, sort of. Still going to be talking about the quarterback position. The Steelers, they move on from Kenny Pickett. The Bears obviously move on from Fields. The Falcons move on from Desmond Ridder. They traded to Arizona. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Sam Howell goes to Seattle. I mean, it was literally this carousel, and a lot of those pieces on the carousel were the 2022 NFL draft class with Pickett and Howell and Ritter leaving. What's your takeaway on all of these quarterbacks, and why do you think the Steelers, Bears, Falcons are willing to just move on so quickly from young quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's interesting. They're a bunch of young guys, all of whom have 3 years or less of experience. Some of those guys have just a handful of starts. I think what it speaks to is the urgency that teams feel to land that franchise quarterback. You know, I think a lot of teams feel like we can't wait around for these guys to develop for a long period of time if we feel like we've got a roster that is pretty solid otherwise. Like, you look at what those teams have in common. The Steelers made the playoffs in spite of their quarterback play last year. They've got a veteran defense. They got the highest paid defense in the NFL and a young offense with a lot of good skill pieces. And they feel like they're a quarterback away from competing for a championship. The Falcons are in a bad division where, you know, they weren't very good at the quarterback position either last year, yet they were in the hunt. And so they feel like, hey man, with the right quarterback, you get in, you got a shot to make a run. So I think, and the Bears have done a ton in free agency. I mean, Justin Fields probably looking at that roster and saying, damn, why did you give me that roster? You know, like they brought in a lot of guys, and they're obviously going to spend the number one pick in the draft on a dude that they obviously hope will become a franchise guy. The NFL is, if we've learned anything about the NFL over the last several seasons, it's this: you can't win the Super Bowl without an elite quarterback, and teams, if they don't feel like they're the guy they got is going to be elite, they're moving on quickly to try to find one.
Yeah, the whole developing a player is really interesting. It used to be, you know, let's use Kenny Pickett and the Steelers as an example, since it's been a main talking point in this show. The Steelers and Kenny Pickett, they draft him in the first round. You're going to give him time to develop. You're going to give him that time that he needs. Year one, finishes well, definitely struggled some. Year two, disaster after the preseason, injury plagued. There's a lot of teams that would say, hey, we're just going to keep, hey, we got to give him a chance. But I think every year you say we have to give him a chance is a year that someone like Cam Hayward is maybe in the final few years of his career. You have maybe that give him a chance year or two is TJ Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick in their prime. And so you have to ask yourself, at what point do you say enough is enough? We can't waste years anymore. I think this is why NFL teams are just faster to pull it, to cut the cord, so to speak, and say, look, we can't wait. We can't wait around. And the regime now in Pittsburgh with Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, and now even Mike Tomlin, they seem to be of the ilk that they're not going to wait around. And I don't blame them, really. You're talking about years that you can't just say, well, we hope something happens. I don't know. It's just, I agree with the way things are trending, because sometimes I think teams have wasted a lot of time on players that just aren't going to develop.
You know, it's interesting too about the three teams we're talking about in terms of what you just said about development. They've all moved on from their offensive coordinators as well.
True.
And so there's just the idea is we got to get the right marriage here between coordinator and quarterback. That's the key. You know, so there've been a lot of guys who will never know if they could have been better as professionals because they just didn't get chosen by the right team, married to the right scheme, married to the right coordinator. And who knows, it may go down that Kenny Pickett never became who he could have become, or Justin Fields or Desmond Ridder, if they had been married to a different situation. You don't know, but teams are right. Like you said, teams are not waiting around to find out.
NFL stands for not for long.
Jerry Glanville. I love that quote.
All right, let's go to the next topic. Give me one team that we haven't discussed yet who you think really helped themselves in the first week of free agency.
Well, by sheer volume alone, the New England Patriots are doing everything that they can to rebuild that offense. Their offense was awful last year, awful. So they ship out Mac Jones, and they have signed a boatload of guys on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I wrote a list here. Jacoby Brissett to be their bridge to, you know, their team's fairly certain that they're going to draft a quarterback at number three. Jacoby Brissett will be the bridge. You got KJ Osborne, the slot, Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver, a couple tight ends, and Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. You got Antonio Gibson at running back. Steelers' old friend Chukwuma Okorafor, one of several offensive linemen that they've brought in. I mean, they are really trying to revamp that offensive unit in preparation for a top of the draft quarterback. So, you know, will it work? I don't know, but you got to give them points for trying.
Absolutely. And hey, it's a new regime there as well with Bill Belichick out and everything else new. I'm going to go in a different direction, close to you. And we talked about this team already a little bit, but by proxy, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, you have the retirements of Jason Kelsey, the retirement of Fletcher Cox, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what is this team going to do? Well, you talked about some of the coaching additions. They have two new coordinators, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, but they bring in Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Devin White, Devontae Parker, Zach Bond, and Matt Hennessy on the offensive line, not to mention if you want to include Kenny Pickett in trade. I think that they've done a great job of kind of restocking their roster. And I think that it's important to note that them restocking their roster is different than, say, an Arizona Cardinals team that was kind of devoid of talent. They still have a good roster. I think they added to it well. What's your take on the Eagles?
Well, I can tell you this, man, living close to Philly and a lot of my friends around here are Eagles fans. The angst that Steelers fans felt towards Matt Canada was the same that Eagles fans felt toward Brian Johnson. So to have moved on from the offensive coordinator and brought in an experienced guy like Kellen Moore, Eagles fans are thrilled about that. And I think you're right. I mean, you talk about sometimes like the way it is in college where teams like Alabama, you know, oh, they don't rebuild, they reload. I mean, that feels a little bit like what the Eagles are doing, right? Kind of reloading at the position. It's not like the Eagles were terrible last year. My goodness, man. You know, they went 11-6 and had a, you know, and made it to the playoffs. But the way that season ended after they got off that incredible start just felt like a failure. And so you got to give them credit for very, very quickly, you know, not trying to fool themselves. They were very honest with who they were. I mean, hey, we made the playoffs. We won this many games, but we're a flawed team. And they've obviously made attempts to fix that.
I saw a really interesting clip from the Rich Eisen show. Fletcher Cox was on after he announced his retirement. And Rich Eisen said, like, Fletcher, like, what happened last year? And Fletcher Cox, who's not one to shy away from saying something semi-controversial, and plus he's retired, who cares anymore? He said, I don't know. Like they had no answers. Like the wheels fell off and they just were left looking around the room saying, what the hell's going on? But nonetheless, what's the vibe around the Eagles fan base with Kenny Pickett coming back to his hometown team, so to speak?
It's like a snore. Like there's like no reaction whatsoever. You know, I mean, I think Eagles fans are worried about Jalen Hurts. I mean, if you ask what went wrong in Philly last year, there was a disconnect. And maybe it was the coordinator, I don't know, but there was a disconnect that occurred at some point in that season between Jalen Hurts, his teammates, the coaching staff. I mean, the Philly beat writers have talked about Jalen Hurts might need to repair some relationships in the locker room. There's almost like a feeling as though like Jalen Hurts was like the teacher's pet who, you know, was always like working harder than everybody else. And you know, the A-plus student who now wanted, you know, expected everybody else to do the same things that he did. And then he kind of went public with, I don't think my teammates are working hard enough. I don't think they're studying their playbook enough. And that didn't play well. Yeah. So I think Eagles fans are more concerned about what's going on with their number one quarterback than with whomever they're bringing in behind them.
That's true. That's a good point. All right, let's go to the fifth topic here. The second wave of free agency is officially underway. And this is when this wave will probably carry us almost all the way up until the draft. There's still a lot of good players out there that are available that remain unsigned. Give me one player yet to sign as of this being recorded that you're excited to see where he lands.
Yeah, I'm really interested about Mike Williams. I mean, I think Mike Williams is a great wide receiver. I think he's the kind of guy that, like, you know, you it's hard to find. I mean, he's 6'5 and can run. There aren't a whole lot of dudes like that on the planet. And he's got a unique physical set, skill set, but he's coming off that bad knee injury. And so, and he's now 29, 28 years old. And now it's like that point in your career where, like, is he going to bounce back? Is he going to be able to give you Mike Williams level production? Or is that injury really the beginning of the end for him? So I know he's visiting the Jets on Monday. He's scheduled to visit the Steelers. Selfishly, I'd love to see the Steelers sign him. But he'll be interesting. Where will he sign, and will he still be able to give you high-level production?
I mean, when you talk about players that are still available, so there's a bunch of different directions I could have gone here, but listen to some of these names of players that remain unsigned. You mentioned Mike Williams, Jamal Adams. Not that any team really wants him. He can be a headache. But you have Justin Simmons still out there. Hunter Renfrow is still out there. You talk about Quadri Diggs is still out there. Michael Gallup got released from the Dallas Cowboys. Tyler Boyd, that's a name that I'm obviously very engaged with because he could be a good fit for Pittsburgh in that scheme, and they need that slot cornerback. Stephon Gilmore is still out there. Valdez Scantling is still a free agent, and this is all based off of a spot rack. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens here at all these different positions. And like you said, you really don't know what's going to happen when you see guys like Calvin Ridley getting the money that he got from Tennessee. Some of these receivers, Tyler Boyd being an example, might say, Mike Williams another example. Well, heck, Calvin Ridley got how much a year? I want a deal like that, and some teams might just not be willing to pay for it. So, yeah, it's going to be intriguing, and we'll try and keep you up to date here on the NFL feed with FFSN to see what's going on around the league. But let's finish this up with a very worthwhile – this kind of surprised me. Player profile, Aaron Donald, who announced his retirement I guess it was over the weekend or Friday. What's your take on Aaron Donald? What a beast.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, that guy – I watched a clinic video put together by a college defensive line coach on leverage. The whole thing was, it was just about 5-6 minutes of him just talking about, the importance of leverage in line play. And he did like 2 straight minutes of Aaron Donald, like getting under the pads of 320-pound offensive linemen and just ragdolling them to the ground. It was awesome to watch. It was like you couldn't believe. It was like watching an adult like go to like a 10-year-old practice and just start throwing the offensive linemen around. I mean, the technique, the strength, the get off. I mean, it reminded me of like, what you would see from Reggie White back in the day. I mean, I think you can put Aaron Donald in that conversation among the greatest defensive linemen to ever play the game. The impact that he had, offensive line coaches talking about, you can't block him one-on-one. You cannot. That he must be double teamed. And then for him, and he was still great, man. 10 years in the league. I read that only Aaron Donald, I think it was Jerry Rice. I can't remember who the other one was. Or no, it was Barry Sanders. Only Aaron Donald and Barry Sanders have been the only players to ever play 10 years in the NFL and make the All-Pro team every single year. And then so at 32 years old for him to walk away, you're right. You didn't see it coming. I mean, what a player.
He supposedly told Sean McVay after their last game, he said, I'm full. Like, I've done everything that I need to do. Like, there's nothing else for me to do. Won a Super Bowl. I think he has, 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, if not 3, yep. 2. The guy's a force. And I'll never forget watching that play where they were in Seattle and he runs a twist and he's bearing down on Geno Smith and Geno Smith throws the ball. And afterwards they catch him on the hot mic. Oh my God.
That was great. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what everyone's thinking.
Oh, that was fantastic. I know. Right. That's like what, people used to react like that to Lawrence Taylor. There are just these generational defenders. There's a great clip of Aaron Donald when he's at Pitt in college of some team. They run a zone read where the quarterback is riding the running back and he's going to pull the ball. And Donald tackles them both. He tackles the quarterback and the running back. He just plants both of them.
I feel like with certain players, when they hang it up for whatever reason, there's a void created and it's not, it has to be filled by someone else. And you're just not sure who that is. I felt the same when JJ Watt officially retired. He was just such a personality. Now Aaron Donald was not the public persona that JJ Watt was, but the game is going to miss something with Aaron Donald, because I feel like in more and more as the NFL becomes more of a offensive driven league, it was always great to have those defensive players who could still go out. You want to triple team me, that's fine. I'm still going to make plays. I'm still going to impact the game. And when you send 3 to me, that means someone else is getting single teamed one-on-one and they're going to win their matchup. So any final thoughts on Aaron Donald?
Well, and, you know, the other thing about him, and this obviously helped with his leverage, but I mean, Aaron Donald's 6 foot tall. That's the thing I think people forget about him. I think they list him at 6'1", but he was not really 6'1". He was 6 foot tall. And so he's obviously not the prototype. And I love the stories about those guys who maybe don't have the same genetic makeup as some of the others. He doesn't walk in the room and say, I'm going to be a generational defensive tackle. You think back to like a linebacker like Sam Mills back in the day, who was 5'9" and just a tackling machine, playing middle linebacker in the NFL at 5'9". And, he just awesome story about a guy who made the absolute most of his physical gifts.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Aaron Donald. I don't know what's next for him, but he is a hell of a football player. Coach, why don't you tell us what's coming up on the call sheet this week?
Yeah. Call sheet this week. We're actually going to start shifting our attention a little bit more to the college draft. And I'm going to have Sean Gurley on. Big G is going to come on the show this week and talk about college, his college football experience and the whole process of preparing for the draft. So yeah, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit now and start looking ahead again.
That's exciting. We'll be sure to check that out. In the meantime, anyone listening, make sure you follow us in the FFSN NFL feed. You won't want to miss we're starting the division by division breakdowns leading up to the draft. Had the AFC and NFC North on Monday by Andrew Wilbar and Jeremy Betts. Go back and check that out. We'll be sure to check out the call sheet later in the week. Coach, thanks for your time. As always, take it easy.